God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is picking up the concept of prayer, especially intercessory prayer. And so for tonight, we'll be picking up another Bible text that talks about prayer from Luke chapter 11. It's a parable of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus speaks, he says, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." Prayer is at once indispensable and irresistible. Yet, how often do we treat prayer that way? Do we not treat prayer as being dispensable and resistible? When we are content, or when life is good, we usually don't pray. Why? Well, we might be thinking, there's nothing really for me to pray for. I got everything I need, isn't it? If we have nothing to ask for, why ask? The answer to this is, we're really missing the need. The basis of the sermon series is going to be focused on something called intercessory prayer. And with that concept, there is very little thought of any personal need or happiness. It doesn't depend on you. If you just pick up for a moment in the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Give us this day our daily bread." And don't we believe that God is going to provide for all that we need to support and take care of our life? If this is true, and this is what we believe, it is true, this is what Jesus means, but now the question is, do we really believe it? Why in our formal prayers do we really need to ask anything more? Do we need to elaborate even more? God does indeed know all things, and he knows what we need even more than we even know what we need. So why pray at all? Because prayer is not just for you alone. Intercessory prayer is really a prayer on behalf of other people. It's not about your personal need, nor is it about your happiness. It is the desire to witness for Christ by allowing Christ to work through you to touch other people. Now, this can be a little challenging for us because our hearts are usually hardened. Our hearts usually just focus upon ourselves. But the challenge for us as Christians is for us to, through the work of the Holy Spirit, open our hearts to see the needs for other people and ask God to help us to pray for them. The attempt to pray constantly, picking up on St. Paul's words, for ourselves, we have to realize, is really a failure. But if we truly were going to pray for other people, now that will increase our faith. We are asking, how can we become more faithful and more successful in prayer? How do we develop this prayer life? Jesus teaches us with today's parable. In the parable of a friend at midnight, that intercession for the needy calls forth the highest power of prayer, of believing and trusting in God. So tonight we're going to learn a little bit more about this parable in connection with prayer. Number one, please note the urgent need. And this is the basis of all intercession. The friend came at midnight, an untimely hour, unless if you happen to be some teenager or young adult who are usually up at that hour. But the friend comes and he's hungry, and he could not buy bread. So if we are to learn to pray aright, we must open our eyes and heart to the needs around us. The second part of this prayer, this model that Jesus puts before us, is his love. Notice the friend who took in the weary, the hungry friend into his house and into his heart. He did not excuse himself by saying he had no bread. He gave of himself at midnight to seek it for him. He sacrificed his night's rest, his comfort, to find the needed bread. This is the very nature of love, to give up and to forget itself for the sake of others. It takes their needs and makes them one's own. And this is the basis of intercessory prayer. I see somebody in need. I see that need, and I'm going to bring it home to my heart, to my prayers. It almost becomes my need in faith, in prayer. True love must pray for others. The third point, note the sense of helplessness. The friend at midnight was most willing to give his friend bread, but the answer was he had none. This isn't a sad story, but a very faithful story. It was this sense of helplessness, his inability to help, that actually sent him a begging, so to speak. He says, "My friend is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." It is in this sense of helplessness with God's servants that is, for us, is the source of strength of our prayer of intercession. What am I getting at? Just like in the parable where the person says, "I have nothing to give," we have to realize that as Christians, there's something we cannot do. One of the major bases of intercessory prayers is as we see the needs of the many people around us, and not just physical needs, but spiritual needs. Every day there are people dying without the bread of life. Every day there are people who are not connected to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are wandering around in the midnight darkness. And what can you do for them? Can you repeat my sermons? Well, yes. Can you read the Bible? Yes. But can you convert them? Can you give them this bread of life? And the answer is no. What you have is a gift of God. It is the Holy Spirit who does the conversion. So what can you do? You can indeed pray for them. That is the major part of the intercessory prayer. I have nothing to set before them. I can't give them my faith. How many times have parents ever said, you know, I wish my children would have the same level of intensity of faith that I would have. I wish they would have the same joy of faith that I would have. That they would be connected to the church the same way that I am. And as parents, we realize, no, I can't give my faith to my little ones. I can model it. I can pray for them, but I can't give them my faith. The same is true with our neighbors and our coworkers. We may love them very dearly. We may want them to believe, but I can't convert them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I have nothing to set before them. I may have the knowledge and the truth. I may have a loving heart. I may have the readiness to give of myself and everything else I possibly can. But the actual bread of heaven, I can't give. When we understand this, we've come to a very important part of intercessory prayer. I have nothing should really be the motto of our work. Not that we want to be stingy of our faith, but realizing that the conversion is truly the work of the Holy Spirit. I have nothing, but there is something I can do. I can and will pray. Intercession appears to him as he thinks of the midnight darkness and the hungry souls as his holy only hope. So it is the sense of the helplessness, our own helplessness in converting somebody, that drives us to intercessory prayer. So in one essence, the simplest, the newest, the weakest Christian, any Christian, can come before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with an intercessory prayer. Getting back to our text, note the faith in prayer. He doesn't have it, but he knows where it's found. He knows another who can supply the need. He has a rich friend nearby who will both be willing and able to give the bread. He is sure that if he only goes and he asks, he will receive. And it is this faith that makes him venture outside his own home at midnight to ask. Since he can't give the bread himself to give, he asks for another. Please note that faith does prevail. The faith of the friend met a very sudden and unexpected reality check. The rich friend refuses to hear. The first comment, I cannot rise and give you. And we might be saying, well, wait a minute here. Because if we unpack this parable, this is God who is speaking. What do you mean we have an almighty God who doesn't want to give? Let's be honest. In our own prayers, haven't we felt that that's the way that God operates? Some requests are granted and some requests are not granted. And it's because of that, I venture to say, that we have a weakness toward prayer. We're not too sure. Does God really listen? I mean, the answer is yes. Picking up our parable, please note that the main character here does not give up so easily. He notes his threefold plea. Here is my needy friend, you have abundance, and I am your friend. And refuses to accept a denial or reality. So in reality, this postponement, because it really wasn't a denial, was it? We know how the parable ends. God, being the main character here who is rich in abundance with the bread, does give. The central lesson of the parable, in our intercession, we may find that, yes, there is difficulty and sometimes delay with the answer. It may be saying, maybe it is God who is saying, I cannot give to you. And that's not an easy answer. But maybe we need to hold on to our confidence like the person in the parable. Because whose kingdom are we trying to grow and to expand with this intercessory prayer? It's God's kingdom. And God truly does desire all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And so what is God looking for in us? Do we have that confidence to go to him in prayer? Do we have that confidence that says, yes, Lord, I know your promises are certain. I know you hear. I know you want all people to be saved. So how can we come before our Lord and saying, Lord, now use me as your tool, an instrument, so that you can work through me for this other person? At this point, we might be saying, Pastor, I may not be that bold that I want to pray that prayer. It's at this point that very often our confidence goes out. It's at this point we might be saying, Lord, why don't you send another person who's more gifted and so forth down the line? But let's put it this way. God can use you if you are willing. Unfortunately, our sinful nature basically wants to say, "No, Lord, I'm not willing. I might pray for them, but please don't send me." Moses had similar thoughts when God called him. Moses said, "You know, my brother Aaron, he's a much more eloquent speaker." God, paraphrasing here, said, "Too bad, I chose you." In one essence, God does use you where you are. No, you don't need a seminary degree to pray for people. You need a heart that's open, that sees the need. And at the end, notice how the parable ends, with the rich reward. Yet, because of his impudence, the ESV uses, and I'm sitting there going, and how many people really know what impudence means? Basically, like boldness. "He will rise and give him whatever he needs. Oh, that we would have such confidence and trust in a God who gives us our daily bread." A prophet of old said, "But you take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." If we will believe and trust in God and his faithfulness, intercession should naturally follow. Do we not believe that God has justified us? He has forgiven our sins. He rose from the dead. Our physical life here and our eternal life with God in heaven above is completely taken care of. Done deal. All through Christ. Amen. But what about our neighbor? What about our family members? What about our coworkers? They still need to hear the bread of life. And God uses you as tools and instruments. Prayer opens the way for God himself to do his work in and through us. And when we realize that we cannot do and cannot fulfill the need, our Lord and Savior can and does fulfill the need. And now we can be bold to pray. God uses our prayers to strengthen our own faith and trust in him. We need to get past our own me prayers and focus on the need prayers. They need the bread of life. Jesus Christ, who dies to take away the sins of the world. We need to be bold in approaching our Savior, not just with our own needs, but with the needs of other people, intercessory petitions. Yes, for ourselves, I'm not saying just exclude you, but mostly for our neighbors. Please note that the model of the Lord's Prayer does give us a good model. You have 7 petitions besides your introduction and your conclusion. And in those 7 petitions, 1 is directly for you. Give us this day our daily bread. I think our Lord is trying to teach us a lesson here. The model that Jesus puts before us is this. He saved us. He takes care of us. He gives us our daily bread. He gives us many gifts. Now we take those gifts that we have been given and share. Come to him in prayer, especially for others. We have it. They need it. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.